Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live right now to allow you to be a part of the broadcast and pose your question or discuss your real-life issues. So we invite your calls right now to 1-800-677-9377. We all have issues in our lives and many times don't know what to do or where to turn. That's why we're here. If something you need to talk about, let's talk about it right now. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's Basic Gospel, and it intersects with your life every day. Call now, 1-800-677-9377. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, as believers, we're called to walk in the Spirit or live by the Spirit. That's our new way of life. We were dead in sin. We followed the ways of this world through faith in Jesus Christ. We were made alive together with Him, and we were raised to walk in the newness of life. Well, what is this newness of life? Well, Paul, in the book of Galatians, describes it as walking in the Spirit or living by the Spirit. Here's what he wrote in Galatians 5:16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So how do we do that? And that's what we want to talk about on today's broadcast. If you have questions about what it means to walk in the Spirit, we invite you to call right now. This can be a fascinating conversation. I think it's one of those conversations that can really cut through the confusion and help us to see what this walk in the Spirit is on a practical level. Yeah. So let's talk about that today on Basic Gospel.
Yes, indeed. 1-800-677-9377. That's the number to dial right now. Plenty of open lines, and we await your calls, as I've said so many times. That's why we're on the air live, so that you can participate. You can be a part and bring your question or your particular issue onto the table, and let us discuss it. Again, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. So as far as this life by the Spirit or to live by the Spirit or walk in the Spirit, the end result of that is you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now, that's an important note that we need to really embrace. The fact that God calls us to walk by the Spirit and the byproduct is that we're not going to fulfill the desires of the flesh. How do most people go about living their day-to-day lives when it comes to the desires of the flesh and to sin management and those sort of things?
Oh, it's most people. I was most people. You stare at that thing, whatever it is in your life, and you stare at it and you say, I'm not going to do this. Never again, I'm not going to do this because, you know, God hates it when I do that. And you're staring at the sin. And you stare at the sin, and you become the sin. And what Paul is talking about here is to stop staring at the things that are beating you up and to stare at the only one who can prevent that, and that's Jesus. And so you're not trying to do sin management. You're not trying to do behavior modification. You're letting the Spirit renew you from the inside out. And after all, it's been promised. I mean, it's Philippians 1:6. He's going to finish what he started. He's going to, you know, Romans 8, I think you talked about that in your blog today. He is going to conform us to the image of Christ. That's God's work. That's God's promise. That means it's a statement of fact in the lives of believers, if we will let him. And the only way to let him is to stop focusing on sin and to start focusing on Jesus.
Now, that sounds counterintuitive.
It does.
I mean, wait a minute. Sin's a big problem, Richard. Don't we need to do everything in our power to keep ourselves from giving in to the sinful desires, those sinful temptations, those sinful activities? Isn't that what God has called us to?
Well, unfortunately, for those of us who used to practice that, the answer is no, he doesn't. I mean, he dealt with that issue in the Garden of Eden. He said to Adam and Eve, you can eat from the tree of life. I'd rather you didn't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because when you do, you will die. And whenever we, and of course they ate from there, and they died, and we've died with them spiritually, whenever we are trying to be good or trying to avoid evil, we're eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and we're only behaving, we're only living on the deaf side of the equation. The only way to stop that is to be on the life side of the equation where Jesus is the source.
Yes, indeed. So I know, like for most men, we have anger problems. I know. I've had anger issues, and you know, it just explodes. You know, at just the oddest times, and you feel bad about that, and so you wake up the next morning and say, Lord, you know, I don't want to be angry today, and so please help me to not be angry.
Mm-hmm.
So you start out the day focused on your sin. You're focused on the anger problem. And then when you go to bed at night and you look back over the day, you realize that your prayer didn't work. It went unanswered. Well, maybe we're praying the wrong thing. And I think that's what we need to learn, is to pray the right thing. And so a prayer is, and instead of, Lord, please help me not sin today, I think a better prayer is, Lord, teach me how to abide in you and follow the leading of God's Spirit in my life. Because God's Spirit is doing something inside of us. He's not sitting inside of us taking a nap and just lounging around. He is actively involved in our lives. He is working desires into our hearts. And if we will open up our eyes and our ears and our minds to what he's doing, we will recognize those things. And then we can simply live out what God is working in. That's the way of life in the Spirit. That's what we're called to do. So I think we as believers should offer up this prayer every day. Lord, teach me to abide in you and to follow the leading of your Spirit in my life. That's a prayer God wants to answer, mm-hmm. and he will answer it in ways that are far beyond our imagination. That's when Christianity gets exciting.
Absolutely. Well, again, this is Basic Gospel, and it is an exciting message that we bring to the airwaves every day, and we want you to be a part of course. The toll-free number, 1-800-677-9377. The lines are wide open right now. We want to hear from you. Again, 1-800-677-9377. Well, guys, a question that was sent to us by Chuck by email says, can you further explain this, please? No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. He says, I thought that we all fall short and sin in the world. So what does he mean by that particular passage?
It's really an interesting verse.
Yes. In the context of today's talk, that is exactly a good question.
Yes, it is. So what does it mean? What's the sin that John is talking about in that first letter? I mean, when we hear the word sin, we have all kinds of activities that come to mind. Sexual immorality, gossip, slander, lying, cheating, stealing. All of those things constitute what we think of as sins. And they are sins. But there's an underlying root to all of those things. And is that what John is addressing in this particular passage?
John is addressing that root, and that root is unbelief. Everything that we do that is bad, and many of the things that we do that are good, come from unbelief. So as long as we don't believe, everything we do is sinful. When we have come to faith in Jesus Christ, we have stopped sinning in unbelief. We are now able to ask the Spirit to renew our minds and to help us follow him.
So the root cause has been taken care of. So once you go from unbelief to belief, you're never going to go back to being an unbeliever.
Correct.
That's been changed permanently, forever, by the grace of God.
Yeah. We appreciate hearing from our listeners who send us questions by email. And if you would like to do so, if you can't get to the phone when we're actually on the air live, well, you can do that by going to our website, basicgospel.net, and we'll be glad to address your question. And we look forward to hearing from many of our listeners, Bob and Richard.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk with William, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, William.
Hi, how are you?
Doing fantastic.
Anyway, listen, speaking about the Spirit, you know, I went to a church, you know, and to visit, and the pastor told me, hey, God is calling you, you know, and I felt that he was actually pointing at me, and I went up, and something came over me, like a peace, which God gives. And it was a tranquility. It was something that I never felt. But as I went, I saw this woman dancing in the spirit, and I said, oh, Lord, give me what this woman has so I could try it. And he gave me that peace, but it looked at the people, and I felt kind of embarrassed, and it left me. And the experience of this is that really, you know, the spirit touches you when you have faith or you try to seek the Lord. Hello?
Yes, William, I think you're okay. Exactly right. And one of the things that you were saying, you looked at a woman, she was, quote, dancing in the spirit, and you said, I want what she has. Well, and then you got fearful, right?
Yeah, and then I looked at the people, and I sort of felt embarrassed, you understand, of God. But you don't supposed to feel embarrassed. Do you know something?
Well, William, what I'm saying is this to you. Is there's no such thing in the Word of God as dancing in the Spirit. I mean, we see David dancing before the Lord. There was a joy that was inside of him. He expressed that in dancing. But the Spirit of God doesn't do that kind of stuff. The Spirit of God...
Okay, could I interrupt you and say something? Let me give you a testimony, okay?
Okay.
I moved to a place in Quincy, Brooklyn. Everybody was black. I respect black people. I love them. I love everybody. But this house was sort of haunted where I moved in. I didn't have carpet. It was like a duplex. And one night, I started hearing noise after 12 o'clock. As if the ceilings were falling down and the house was being broken into. But I looked, and all I received was fear. One night, I went out into the street, and I stood out late at night with some friends, and we played some cards and everything, and I decided to come home. And I found myself in an empty lot where they were going to build projects. And a cat appeared and stood on it on his four legs, and every hair on that cat stood up. So I caught more fear, so I rushed home quicker. When I got home...
Well, William, let me just jump in. What's really your question about
the
Holy Spirit?
My question is this, that I saw the Son of God, you know, in my room. And first I received fear. You understand?
Well, William, I do understand, and let me just...
Hold on, let me give you my...
Yeah, let me jump in here, William. As far as fear is concerned, all of us come into this world fearful. We're scared of anything and everything. That traces back all the way to Adam and Eve. After they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the first thing they did was to hide from God. They looked at themselves. They said, "Hey, we're without clothing. We're ashamed," and in their shame, they hid from God, and that became the way of life for every single human being following. We were fearful. We're fearful of everything, but the primary thing we're fearful of is punishment from God. We know that we're sinful. We know that we're sinners. We know that we deserve punishment. And we walk on eggshells thinking that that punishment can be delivered to us at any given time. So what did God do? He understood that, and he sent Jesus. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And when we look at Jesus, when we recognize what Jesus has accomplished for us in his death, burial, and resurrection, we recognize the love of God. We recognize the fact that he died in our place. He took our punishment for us. He turned aside the wrath of God, the wrath of God that was directed toward us. He turned it aside unto himself. That's love. That's a demonstration of God's love. And as we take our stand in the love of God, we see that fear inside of us starting to dissipate. That's exactly what the Apostle John wrote in his first letter. Love cast away all fear, because fear has to do with punishment. And so when that fear moves away, it's really enveloped by faith. We can start trusting the Lord. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes into play. The Holy Spirit is the one who teaches us how to walk by faith. That's what this whole discussion is about. To walk in the Spirit is to walk by faith in Jesus Christ, to walk by faith in the love of God. That is the good news. Now, where so much confusion comes into the story is around the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit enable us to do? And so many folks think, oh, it's dancing or speaking in tongues or doing something spectacular like that. And we look at that and say, as William did, I would like that sort of manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And then you start wondering, what are people going to think of me? What are people going to do? If I get up and do what this lady is doing, are they going to laugh at me? Are they going to make fun of me?
Or if I don't do what
right.
she's doing.
Absolutely.
Either way.
So you start comparing yourself to others, mm-hmm. and you open up the door for fear to enter back into the picture. And so God says, don't compare yourself to others. Let God work uniquely in you. And where he's going to lead you, what's most important is for you to take full hold of this life that's been given to you in Christ Jesus. That's why Jesus came, so that you might have life and to live it to the full. The Holy Spirit enables that to happen in your life. So if you'll trust the Holy Spirit to do what the Bible says he's going to do, make you alive together with Christ, confirm in your heart that you are a child of God, lead you into all truth, complete the work that Jesus began in you to give you the fruit of his life, which consists of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, then you don't have to worry about it. You'll be expressing exactly what God wants to express through you. That's why this is such a vitally important topic. And that's why we need to cut through all the clutter and confusion that's out there and come to grips with what the Word of God actually says about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Well, William, we appreciate your question. Thanks for your call today.
Yes, indeed.
Well, let's move on to Wilmington, North Carolina, and talk with Matthew. Hi, Matthew.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great today. What's on your mind?
Good. Well, I'm glad to finally get through. I listen to you guys every day, and I thought that y'all were on in my area, and I kept trying to call for like a month. And I finally realized that I was calling 30 minutes too late. So I'm happy to finally make it through to you guys, man. It's like a celebration in and of itself.
Well, excellent. Thanks for your persistence.
Absolutely. I have a question. So my wife and I have been married for 3 years. We have been trying to start a family for 3 years. I guess my question is, we've looked at, we don't, right now at least, we don't have a heart to adopt, and I don't feel comfortable adopting without that heart for that. And so I'm curious as to if the Bible or biblically what it looks like to go through infertility and like fertility medications and is in vitro fertilization, that's kind of creating a child without normalcy, and I'm just trying to, kind of walk through that with my wife, and it's a really painful thing for her and a unclarifying thing for me. And so I'm just trying to find somebody to help me kind of shed a little light into that, if that makes any sense.
Well, Matthew, I think you're going about it in the right way. I think it's an issue that you kind of bring to the table. And you talk about options, and then the two of you come to an agreement together. I mean, both of you have to be on the same page. One of the things that I've discovered just in talking with couples that are kind of in your situation, there's a lot of pressure. You know, you want to have a child. It doesn't happen in the way you thought it might happen. It doesn't happen as quickly as you thought it might happen, and so you start applying pressure. You build up some tension and some stress as it relates to that. And I think you really need to learn to relax and say, Lord, this whole issue is in your hands. It's not in ours. It's in your hands. And so teach us how to trust you with the results. And I think if you can get to that point, I think it might just take care of itself. I mean, that's been the story of so many couples. So I think you talk about the different issues, but in the end, you're going to have to say, we're just going to have to put this in the hands of the Lord. We're going to have to trust him together.
Yeah, and when
and I'm just like, so we're kind of like, we're both there as far as like, hey, we know that God's got this regardless, you know, at the end of the day, like, you know, he's going to take care of us. You know, but like, if we end up going towards like, you know, something like in vitro fertilization and like, you know, they harvest eggs and then they, you know, kind of create a, you know, a child in a petri dish for all intents and purposes. You know, then you end up with extra eggs and like, you know, an extra things to create children. And I just, like, if, you know, that you may not ever use, and is that considered abortion and, you know, a tubal pregnancy if that happens? And I just, there's so many unknowns.
That happens every month. An egg is sloughed off every month.
Okay.
So
I shouldn't feel any conviction about doing in vitro fertilization from a biblical standpoint. Or an abortion standpoint, because it's not. Those things happen every month anyway.
Yeah. So I think that's something that you and your wife come together and you form convictions between the two of you. Let what you know about the Bible, let what you know about the Lord himself shape your thinking in that area, and let him shape your thinking together so that the two of you can be one in that regard.
Yeah. Where you want to start first and foremost is with contentment. Don't start with the frustration of not being able to have children. Start with contentment and then watch as the Spirit leads you through the rest of the issues.
I really appreciate it, guys. Thank you guys so much. I really do enjoy listening to you guys every day.
Well, thanks, Matthew. Yeah, thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it, and keep us posted, okay?
Give us a quick
financial. I will. Thank you so much.
Give us a quick financial update, Bob.
Well, we're in the summer months, and summer means smaller donations or fewer donations. That's just the way it is for every single ministry, no different for Basic Gospel. And so we always encourage our listeners to maybe double up during the summer months, maybe give an extra gift. To help us continue moving forward. And so we're going to ask our listeners to do the same thing for us this summer as we've asked them to do every single summer before.
And in connection with that, we've been talking about the issue of spiritual gifts, and there's a lot of confusion, of course, abroad today, just like there was in the early Corinthian church. And Bob has addressed that controversial subject in his CD called About Spiritual Gifts. In the CD, Bob reveals the provider, the purpose, and the power of spiritual gifts. And the CD is yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. And that, of course, is the bottom line, supporting the ministry. To make your gift and request your copy, today you can call 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828. Or go online to basicgospel.net. Also, we're only 10 days away from Stand 2014, our Bible conference featuring John Lynch, Andrew Farley, and Bob Christopher. That's coming up June 19th through the 21st. Stand 2014, finding solid footing in a broken world. For information and registration, visit the website stand2014.com. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then.